Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social podcast. Today we are going to be talking about the first day of individual racing at the Cyclocross World Championships in Tabor. Coming to me from the other side of the living room in Tabor where we are is Issam.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It was a good day out. I will just disclose that I was shooting video today for USA Cycling and for Ian Eckert for Canada. And with that out of the way, Issam, we made a preview podcast and we talked a lot about the weather and everything pointed towards it would be dry, but everything changed. When we came here on Wednesday, there was a lot of fog on our journey. That was a epic final 2 hours of that drive. We didn't go that far in those 2 hours to find our house, but foggy. Then rain on Thursday, which was only expected on Wednesday after we recorded the preview podcast. The rain came pretty massively. And then the training did the rest. The course was ripped up. The icy layer that was there in the mixed relay was gone. Today, just a complete sufferfest on that course. It was a really, really hard course, as demonstrated by the lap times. Almost 11 and a half minutes for women elite. Over 12 and a half for women junior.
Yeah, it was definitely a different circumstance than we expected. And I also feel that some of the riders expected a faster course. They didn't really get that in a way. And yeah, then you have to adjust, I guess, and you have to try to make the best out of it. And you cannot really go to a weekend with just one condition in mind and be like, this is how you're going to be. You know, you have to adjust quickly and you have to understand that the weather is not always on your side if you're someone that likes a faster course more than this. But yeah, I think a lot of what we said in the preview was based on a very fast course. And while I definitely think that in terms of the differences in performances between the riders and how they are at the moment weighing in against each other, it's definitely not, you know, didn't change. There's still definitely some elements that could have played or played a role in the racing, especially on the Saturday. And we don't know how the course will be on the Sunday, because that could also be a different course to what we have seen today.
Well, I think it will be pretty much the same. I don't think this is going to dry out much more. But of course, the men elite are stronger riders and we'll be able to ride a bit more than the women elite did today. But in a way, they didn't really... Well, they needed to adapt to their expectations, but not really to the course today. What they raced was also pretty much what they practiced on this morning. Like, it was different from yesterday, but it was enough time for them to practice. And somebody who had clearly done enough of that was Fem van Empel. The defending world champion had a clear goal in mind, and that was that second rainbow jersey in a row. Already within a few minutes, she took the lead and opened a small gap over Puk Pietersen and Lucinda Brandt. They stayed at like 10 seconds. Pietersen came back to 6 seconds at some point, but there was really no stopping van Empel today. She just powered away, won the race by over a minute 20. That was not on Puk Pietersen. Pietersen was running in second for a while, but just after the halfway point of the race, she faded. Not as bad as last week, but she definitely faded and saw Lucinda Brandt pass her. Brandt ended second ahead of Puk Pietersen. Full Dutch podium, van Empel, Brandt and Pietersen. Issam, I can only conclude a deserved world title for Fem van Empel. Over the entire season, she's lost 2 races, Gavre and Hulst. She's just the best cross racer at the moment. We can debate long or short about the state of Pietersen, but we can do that later. I think for now we should also just acknowledge the fact that on a course like this, no matter the form Pietersen is in, I would always take Fem van Empel. On suffer courses like this, which it was, significant amount of climbing, big diesel efforts, significant amount of running, lots of dismounts. Van Empel is just one of the best riders in the world at that, probably the best, as demonstrated today, and deserved world title.
You know, deserved is definitely a word that you could use for the performance that she put out today. And it was, from the start, basically quite clear what the intentions were of Van Empel, and the others, you know, had one job, and the job was to follow. And that was a very difficult job, and it showed in after the first lap already that was just not going to be a very easy task. And then, you know, Van Empel got a course today that, you know, with she could use her running very well, and she could also use her power well. And despite the fact that she maybe would be a little slower compared to Pieterse in the technical sections, you don't gain that much. You might gain a second or 2 seconds, and then on the power sections, you lose 5, 6, 7 seconds, you know, and that just accumulates in a way. And I think that, yeah, for Van Empel, it was when you have that lead in a way from lap one and you continue to build up on that lead, you know, the confidence also grows in a way, and it's then easier to make mistakes. But she really kept it clean, and the race was, you know, from her side, was in my opinion perfect. There were not so that many mistakes, was able to control the race from start to finish, and in my opinion definitely a deserved victory, but also a victory that we could maybe see coming in a way, yeah? Because we entered this weekend with a Pieterse where we were not really sure how she was going to be. We have seen some positives, but it was a small question mark in a way. And with Brandt, we knew that she, on a very good day, maybe could challenge Van Empel, but we also kind of knew that that was going to be a difficult task for Brandt. And I think that's kind of what we saw in the women elite race, and that is how eventually everything turned out. You know, there were no crazy results other than maybe Pieterse not being able to clinch on to second place.
Yeah, perhaps, but as you say, there were like a couple of snars who were hoping, like Van Empel and Benny Dormert was like a struggle to get rid of Pieterse on the course. And before that, in like the Christmas period in Hulst and in Gavre and even in Zolder against Alvarado, it were not easy victories. So we had that sense of optimism. And on the other hand, we were like aware of the fact that Pieterse had been sick, and it always still plays an influence. Like last week was no incident. Like if you fade like that from second where she was to like seventh where she ended, that's not something that you're going to get rid of in a week. That clearly impacted her form. Again, I don't think it matters for the end result today, and it's also not relevant because shit like that happens sometimes. Van Empel just physically so much stronger than the rest. I think technically Pieterse is still better, but you don't really have anything of your technical skills on this course because all the corners there are like so speed limited, and it's not really that slippery anymore. Like the mixed relay course, there you had like a benefit of your technical skills because there were like a couple of slippery corners where you needed to have like some control and some faith. That just wasn't the case here. And with that physique, Van Empel is now gonna head onto the road, and she says she's going to finalize her calendar, but she's going to be racing Gent-Wevelgem and the Tour of Flanders. So let's hope everything goes well there, Issam, because last year it was a bit of a mess with the mountain bike and road mix, and there was no real clear plan. But I said it last year, I think that Van Empel can be a great road rider. Like the power she has, the seated accelerations, just the punch she has, I think she should be a real good rider for races like Strade Bianche, Tour of Flanders, those type of races. And I'm curious to see what her ceiling is on like the 5-minute-ish efforts which they will get in Liège-Bastogne-Liège. That's probably not going to be for this year, but it will be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope that those opportunities that she will get with Team Visma Lisebike, that from there she could also, you know, progress on the road, but also keep the cyclocross as a discipline that I wouldn't say will be respected, but that she also will race quite a lot of races there, because I feel that it would leave some sort of a gap if she now would decide to focus more on the road and maybe skip the cyclocross races in a way, as we have seen with the men's category as well. That can happen if the success on the road becomes better and better. So I definitely wish that she, you know, takes the road to the level that apparently is now being taken. And we have already said a couple of times, several, I think last season as well, that on the road she definitely has quite a potential to be at the front of the races there with the women elite. So I hope that she can, you know, unlock that and be able to actually deliver the expectations that we kind of have, and make sure that she can unlock that potential. But yeah, I think for now, for Van Empel, as she said herself, it's now enjoy the World Championship, because it was a lot of ups, some downs, and eventually a great world title. And yeah, that's basically now how she has to look at it. And from now on, slowly but surely work towards the road season and see what is possible there. But go there without any expectations and no pressure whatsoever, because it's going to be her first, in theory, her first serious road season. So it will be interesting, and we'll definitely follow it, I guess.
Oh, for sure. And if we see what Pietersen can do in Strade Bianche last year, I'm pretty excited to see what Van Empel can do. I think she should be able to do well. And one of the riders she will face there is Lucinda Brandt. You already went over it a bit. That was slightly surprising that she ends ahead of Pietersen, maybe based on the season. But I think, in a way, this World Championship also kind of reflects like the season. Over the entire season, Van Empel has been the best rider. And behind Van Empel, we have seen Brandt, Pietersen, Alvarado like duel it out. Of course, Pietersen had that strong phase in the Christmas period, and we never know what would have happened if she hadn't gotten sick. But if you just like draw a line over the entire season, this is what you see. Even the places behind, with Verdonschot, Casasola, and Vorst, are also a reflection of the season. Further down, we also see like kind of a reflection of the season for the other Dutch riders. Van der Heide in 9th is an okay result. It's nothing special. Van Alphen in 12th shows like her tendency in the last couple of races, together with Bakker and Betsema, that it's like up and down. That goes the same, like Vorst, Van der Heide, Van der Alphen, Bakker and Betsema. In the past couple of weeks, like one of them ends 7th and the other one ends like 17th or something. And that's how it's been going these past couple of weeks. And in this case, it was Vorst who got the 7th place and Betsema who got the 15th place. There's not been much consistency for those riders. Of course, we know the story with Betsema, like completely disrupted season preparation. But I feel like it's a bit silly that I'm repeating like a disrupted season preparation in February. Because if your season preparation is that messed up, you should extend your season preparation after a crash and come in competition later. Vorst knee issues in the season preparation. Like, we can go over all these reasons why those two have not been like at the top of their level, at the top of their game this season. But on the other hand, it's also a matter of decision. Like, both could have chosen, if a messed up season preparation is their explanation, which it is, both could have said, well, we're going to prepare the season differently. I mean, that's kind of what Pietersen did. Pietersen came in after a big mountain bike season, was pretty tired after Waterloo, and just said, well, I'm going to be taking a rest period, and I'll see you when I come back. And that was mid-November. It results in a third place. She was a bit disappointed with it, which I get. I mean, she has the winner's mentality. At the same time, I don't really follow the critique that she was burned out from a big mountain bike season. Like, you can question whether like the break was long enough, because I'm not really a fan of the fact that the Mountain Bike World Cup is like becoming bigger and bigger, like in terms of space it compasses on the calendar. Like, it starts in like April in Brazil now, and then later on in May there's European World Cups, and then it finishes all the way in the first two weekends of October. I would rather have it like be spaced more together, because it's one, better for the riders, and two, also just better for the multidisciplinary approach. When I hear the UCI say stuff about they want to reform like the calendar in a way that there's incentives for World Tour teams to hire cyclocross riders or mountain bike riders because they can score points to an overall ranking, like the World Cup should like squeeze in. And you can question like, was that break long enough? But I think overall, if you just like disregard the last 2 weeks, Pietersen was clearly an upward trajectory to be at her best here. And now, just because of an illness, it doesn't really come out. And we'll see. She's gonna, just like Van Empel, focus on other things now. Pietersen gonna set her sights on Paris, and we'll see what she can do on the mountain bike and the Olympics.
If you look about perspective and how this, you know, race reflects on how the season went, I think for someone in fourth with Alvarado, you know, you can say that her season didn't go the way her race went today. I feel that for her, her season definitely went very well, wins the World Cup. There were definitely a lot of races where we saw an Alvarado that was able to bring up the fight. I wouldn't say to Van Empel for sure, but definitely to be able to be on the podium. And today, there was definitely, for Alvarado, there was no hope for a podium during the race. It was quite quickly that that podium place came, you know, just out of shot, and it was just not able for her to get herself in that fight. And if you look at her, how her season went, and the achievements that she had this season, I definitely think that there were a lot of good moments from Alvarado, and she really bounced back as well from the difficult season that she had after winning the Worlds. And I think that for her, she can be very, in my opinion, she can be very positive about this season, because she showed that she is able to bring up the fight, that she can up her level. And I think that if you look a little bit more down in the top 10, and also outside of the top 10, I think that there are a lot of women that cannot be so positive about it, because they didn't have these achievements in the season. And also this race then reflects on how their season went. So for them, it's definitely more difficult. And most of the time after the Worlds, you have to reflect on how your season went in a way. And then from there, you have to try and come with a new plan and try to different things and see where you can maybe gain a percent or two, and sometimes even less, but at least try to find the motivation to get better. And in a way, it's a bit difficult for these riders, because you know, you had a good season and then you have this race and the season is then almost over and you feel a little bit more down. But I think especially if you talk about Alvarado, it was a good season, so for her, definitely a bit of a shame that she wasn't able to get on the podium, but we got three incredible women on the podium, and for her, you know, winning the World Cup is also definitely a very good achievement for her.
Yeah, Alvarado had a good season, and as you say, she can like try and solve these back issues and then see what she's capable of. She'll need to improve more to be at the level of Femme Van Empel, but that's okay. And as you say, like, I already went over the riders like Vorst, Betsema, Bakker, Van Alfa, Van der Heide. Those riders are like in a different state. I also think that in general, if I look at like the top 10 here, let's just go through it. Van Empel, Brandt, Pietersen, Alvarado, all Dutch top 4. Then Verdonschot and Casasola save us from complete Dutch domination, with a 5th and 6th place ahead of Annemarie Worst and 7th. Clara Honsinger raced to an 8th place ahead of Inge van der Heide. And Magali Rochette nicked Helene Clausel, who was already celebrating a 10th place on the line. Rochette taking home 10th. Like, in general, if I look at like this top 10, okay? I don't want to discredit any of the riders here. Top 10 at World Championships, tremendous achievement. You can only race who is there. But if I look at like the level of this top 10 in terms of the riders who are here, and then compare where they have been in the World Cups in recent weeks, with all the respect, tomorrow in the U23 race, there's going to be 6-7 riders racing that all have the level of ending ahead of Annemarie Worst. Zoë Bakstedt, Marie Schreiber, Leonie Bentveld, Kristina Zemanova, Isabella Holmgren, Eva Holmgren. Like, those are all riders that have the capabilities of ending ahead of Annemarie Worst. So in a way, like, for Honsinger and for Rochette, it's great that they get a top 10 here at Cyclocross Worlds, and both can be proud of that, because they are like at a decent state. But we also need to be realistic and conclude that in the upcoming years, it's not going to get easier for riders like Worst, riders like Betsema, riders like Rochette and Honsinger to actually get these top 10s at Worlds, because there's going to be more and more riders moving in from the U23 category. We have already seen in the junior women's category, which we will talk about in a bit, that the front runners there are capable of ending in the top 15 of a World Cup, which is the same as what Molengraaf and Molengraaf and the Holmgrens were doing last year. They've moved up now to be fighting for top 10 spots, like we have seen in Hoogheide, Molengraaf and Zonhoven. It's going to be difficult for them, and it shows how rapidly the women's level in the sport is increasing.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any disrespect in anything that you said. It's the honest truth, and We have already seen it in some of the races, and as you said, it's something that is coming, and that means that for the women that we are kind of targeting at the moment, you know, it's nothing personal or anything, but it means that you have to step up your game, and if you don't do that, you might end up outside of the top 10 in the next coming years if you stay on a similar level. On the one hand, obviously, it's a very good thing that the women category is getting only better and better and better. And we see that from category to category that there are plenty of talents coming through. And that's needed in a way, because you want to see that. The highest level is what you want to see. And I feel that development is important for the women category. And it has been going very well, and it is going very well. And I hope that it continues in that way. But that means that the ones that you were talking about are going to struggle a little bit with that and have to step up their game. And the question will be, are they going to be able to do that? And that will be an answer that we will see. We maybe already have seen a little bit, but we'll see only more in the next season and the season that will come after that.
I think for most, the answer is simply going to be no, Issam. I think it's going to be no. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but the junior woman that are racing now, they know that they can make a living in cycling. It's a different state than the sport was in when Annemarie Worst was racing U23 Worlds. She raced the second U23 Worlds. She won that in BLS. Like, it was a different world back then. And Anna Kay, she can be classified in that as well. I remember when she was racing those early season Brico crosses back then in where was that? Like in a field and with just like a few hills there. It was like rotating in Eeklo, that was it. She was fighting for the win there, racing for Experza. And she was the big talent. And then, like, I'm not saying Kay's career has been a failure, but there have been two collarbone fractures and ruining cross seasons. And now the next generation is there. And they are in a different state. They know they can make a living from it. They are natured earlier. They actually finally have a number of junior women races to attend, which helps. They don't need to fight the 80% every week, unless you're Belgian, because in Belgium they don't care about your junior women races. And that helps. And just look at the technical skills. I mean, the bunny hopping here was not a factor, but in Hoogerheide, in Antwerpen, like, from the top 20, like, at least 50% of the junior women were bunny hopping. Even riders who don't possess technical skills like Kat Ferguson and Imogen Wolf put the practice in and bunny hop pretty smoothly. Like, that's a difference, and that's going to add up compared to riders like Vorst and riders like Rochette does hop the lower one, so maybe not the right example. Vorst or Betsema, like, who don't hop anything. Like, it's going to make a difference, so I think that's going to be difficult. At the same time, Alvarado has shown that it's possible to, like, improve and, in a way, reinvent yourself. And I think we can also, like, as a final comment here on the women's, like, conclude that Verdonschot has also, in a way, reinvented herself. Fifth place here. She had a very, very tough mental patch. Like, after that second place in Ostende, Belgian Nationals, there was so much pressure on her that she got loaded. Then Mette Penninger dropped her. She had mental issues, like serious burnouts during COVID. I think there was even talks at some point that she had a mild depression or something during COVID, thought about quitting, was thinking about starting like a career just working. Then she got nurtured by the team that she's on now, the De Keuster Bonnage team, and she's done very well. And she was fifth today. She overtook Casasola, and that's slightly surprising because Casasola faded in the final two laps, and normally she surges in those laps. I think Casasola might not have been used to being at the front of the race for so long and just blew up in the wheel of Alvarado.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on the Verdonschot part. I mean, for her, it was definitely, she was on a low and had to find something to get it going again. And that is an example of someone that was able to reach a similar level after downs in a way, and was able to make it to a very good level. And I think that it is possible, but it's just going to be very hard, and the potential needs to be there from the start. And it is a difficult situation for some of these women, but I, as I said, and already, we already went over that, I think that overall it's a very good thing for the women's category, and it's great to see them bunny hopping in the juniors already. And you know, that is what you want to see, and I think that it's only going in a very good direction. So, you know, in the next couple of years, maybe we don't even have this discussion anymore, and that is where we want to go.
Before we talk about some of those exciting future talents in the women's sport, let's go and talk about the men's U23 race. I think we can be fairly short about that, Issam, because we expected kind of Diwar Dagoso to put on a show, and he did. He's been the best U23 rider over the season. He had the fastest start in the first corner into the field. There was a big crash. Andrew Strohmeyer was the first rider to go down. He had a bad rut and got sent into the barriers. Took down a lot of riders. Like, there was a mass crash on the left. Everybody swerved to the right and they crashed there as well. A couple of big names went down there. Rémi Le Landais, Martin Gros-Lambert, a couple of the big names for France were involved in that. David Haverdings went down there as well. There were a significant number of riders involved in that crash. Dagoso not, because he was leading. Verstringen got through. Jente Michels got through relatively unharmed. But Dagoso just put down the power. Chopped Verstringen, I think, in the second lap from the top of my head. And built a 12-second lead and extended it to nearly half a minute and took the win. Michels, who was held up slightly by that crash, moved forward. Caught Verstringen towards, I think it might have even been the first lap that Dagoso already went. I'm trying to remember when I was at the... It might have been the first or second lap. It's a bit hard to keep track of it when you're actually on the course. But Michels caught up to Verstringen, and those two were together for the entire race. It came down to a sprint. Michels took the turn first, but still got passed by Verstringen. And I think that was a pretty accurate representation of the dynamics, because for me, it felt like Verstringen was slightly stronger the entire race, but not close to Thibaut Dagoso, who is the next big thing. Can we say that, or are we now too cliche?
No, I think he's the next big thing. I think that everyone also saw that the confidence that he was racing with again was outstanding in a way. No facial expression, in total control. It was a masterclass in a way, in my opinion, and it was an introduction to what might become a very illustrious career, and one with great achievements. I feel he has a lot of talent. That's not always a guarantee for success, but I feel with him as a rider, as a package, as a whole, I think that it is, you know, he's a great rider, and I think that will definitely showcase itself in the next couple of years. And as you said, we kind of expected him to do this, but then you still have to do it, and he did it in a very good way. Total control, didn't do much more than that was needed also, and that is, you know, you need that kind of room from within your mental capacity to do that, because on a day like this you don't want to mess up and you might overdo it, and he didn't do that at all. He never had a bad moment, never overstepped it in any of the corners or overall. So I think for him it was a very good ride. And as you said, I think that Verstringen, you know, Michels had a shot there, but I feel that Verstringen maybe used a lot of energy to try and close in on Dagoso. That didn't really happen. They had to pay a little price for it, but then was able to secure second place. And yeah, for Michels, we have seen some good races, but also a lot of races that, you know, didn't really bring him close to the front. Today was an okay race from his side, but it was still not spectacular. And I think that mainly because of Verstringen slowing down, he was able to catch up. And I think we got a podium that we kind of expected, I would say.
Yeah, although I do think that Rémi Le Landais could have potentially ended on that podium, because he was in that crash and needed to ride a recovery race. But his lap times after that were very good. I mean, it's not a given that he would have ended up there, but Le Landais was very good. But yeah, it wasn't a pretty expected podium. And with Dagoso on the top, it's like, I don't know, I have a bit mixed feelings about Dagoso. He's a great guy. I used to race against him. He was one of my friends back then. It's like, I have nothing against his winning, but my mixed feelings are like about your comment, like a career that will have great things. And I think his career will have that. But I'm more like wondering, is that going to be in cross or on road? Because this is a U23 who's already done a super limited cyclocross campaign. He's done exactly 10 races this season. From the U23 World Cups, he only lost in Benidorm, where he didn't have a good day because he did a lot of training. He ended fourth there. He won the other ones he did. He was sick in Amur and skipped that. He had been sick before Bohm, ended 13 there, but then he raced with the elites in Zolder and Hulst, 5th and 10th. He's a good rider in cross, but if you're already doing such a limited campaign here, I wonder how much in cross we're going to see him, because he's also really, really good on the road. So it's something to keep in mind where he'll end up. I think his heart, like, breathes cyclocross, so we'll see more of him. Since he's on the Alpecin dev team, we'll probably see even more of him in cross. But I just wonder, like, is this guy ever going to do a full cross winter, or is he just going to do this type of campaign? How do you really build a legacy like that? It's pretty unusual, at least from what I recall, to see a U23 world champion already having decided, okay, cross is for me like something I do next to road, and I'm not going to do like a full calendar. Like, I don't feel we see that type of rider at the front in the U23 race that often, which, I mean, maybe is a new trend that's going to go on with like the more multidisciplinary approach, but it just gives me like a bit of a weird vibe around it, probably because I'm not used to it, whereas then like the guys he beats, Verstringen and Michels, are more of like riders who we know like are full-time cross riders. I would like your thoughts like briefly on them. For Verstringen, this was his final chance to win. He's going to move on to the elites. I suspect Del Grosso is going to do the same next year. Michels, he could be like the leading man then in the U23 category. But Michels is a bit of a mystery to me. I don't really know what to make out of him. He's like obviously very talented in the 2019-2020 season as a junior. He was really good. He almost beat Thibaut Nice in the European Championships there in Sivel. Then his second junior year got destroyed by COVID. He only got to race 2 races. Then he came back and started to like build a career as a U23 with some pretty good results, but he was like so heavily hyped in Belgium, especially in that like year that the junior races were killed by COVID. Paul Herreigers, former world champion and now commentator on Belgian TV, was always talking about, oh, poor Jente Michels, he's so good, and now this happens. And then, I'm not saying he's done bad, but I'm like waiting for, okay, when is it actually like, when is he going to do something that's going to like blow me from my chair? Because that hasn't really happened yet. Like, he's consistent. He won the European Championships mainly because Verstringen punctured. But I'm just waiting for like that time that he does something like I've seen Del Grosso do. Or like Verstringen has had a couple of those days as well. And for him, I haven't seen them yet. And that makes me a bit puzzled. I'm wondering, is that going to come, or is he just going to like not really fulfill the prophecy that he was meant to be and end in like more of a rider that ends like in the back end of the top 10 of most races, like a Jens Adams type?
It depends. I think he still has some time. He definitely, you know, if he decides to go for another under 23 year with some elite races, obviously, but still targeting the under 23 worlds, I think that wouldn't harm him in his development, especially because he has, in my opinion, not much to get after in the Elites World Championships. So that, I think that is basically where he has to, you know, he has to take his time in his development. And he was, in a way, definitely, you know, hurt by the COVID situation and how that season played out. But that doesn't mean that the others weren't, you know, and that is a bit of an issue. Obviously, every individual is different, and every individual was hit different by COVID and how the seasons played out. Life goes on, and the other talents are continuing to flourish in a way. And he has his moments. He definitely showed us several times that he is a talent that can definitely show himself within the top, let's say, 5 of the future in a way in cyclocross. But it's just the special moments what you were talking about, we haven't seen it that much, or actually we haven't seen it at all. And that is an issue, but that is an issue that is temporary at the moment and could, you know, be something that we will see in the next season or the season after. It's a young guy. He has the support, I feel, and I think that, you know, time will is needed for him to develop, and eventually he might get those results in. And even if you are consistent and you don't have the special moments, it doesn't mean that's the end of the world, because maybe you can use that consistency for the classifications. And, you know, it probably does mean that you're not going to be a championship rider, but who knows, then you can be a rider that overall has a very good season and is able to get himself within the top five consistently. So it's interesting where his career will go, and we will follow it for sure. But it's for now definitely someone that is, you know, he still needs one season or two seasons to make that step to the elites.
And Michels, as I said, is like from the COVID generation, and or at least that's what I'm going to call the people who had their junior years affected by it in this instance. Like, those riders are generally struggling a bit. Of course, Doug also takes his world title now, and he's like super talented, and Michels ends here. But in general, there are very few like second and third year U23s like high up in these results. U23 category feels like a bit in a mixture, because a lot of the riders who've done like well are either fourth year U23s, like we see Lelandais in fifth, and Victor van der Putten in seventh, Gros Lambert in ninth, Arne Baars in tenth, just outside Lars Sommer in 13th, Strohmeyer in 16th, Huibs in 17th. Like, those are fourth year U23s. They're going to move out of this category now. And once you like cross out all of them, it's an extensive amount. And that's definitely not always been the case. There's always the advantage of being a fourth year U23. You're way more experienced. But last year, there were only two fourth year U23s in the top 10. And especially the second year U23s are lacking at the moment. The highest second year U23 finisher was Corentin Lequet in 15th, and then Aaron Dox was 22nd. If you look at like the results, because when they were second year junior, they were racing in Fayetteville. Jan Christen won ahead of Aaron Dox and Nathan Smith. Christen has moved to the road. He's not a cyclocross rider, doesn't have any technical skills. Dox is mixing it up there. He's like shown stuff from time to time, like in Benidorm on fast courses. Nathan Smith retired due to mental issues. Then Corentin Lequet was fourth. Then we already find four first years in the top 10 in Fayetteville. Then Haverdings. Haverdings has been struggling a lot. I don't really know what's on with him. He had like the best junior year there out of everyone, but then he hasn't really shown it. First years in the results there in Fayetteville. And then we come to Jack Spranger, who's focusing on mountain bike. Luke Valenti, who's also not racing here, although he's shown himself pretty well in the US scene, also prioritizing road and mountain biking, or definitely road. Genai de Mooyer, I think he's retired by now, or that might have been his countryman. There was another Belgian rider who got signed. Yeah, it was not de Mooyer. De Mooyer is still racing. But yeah, it's not going like amazing with that generation. Might just not be the strongest year, but it's definitely wide open. And you can see like those first years from Fayetteville that are now first year U23s, the juniors of last year, they're doing pretty well here, because I think we should definitely mention that fourth place for Leo Bisio and sixth place for Ian Ackert, Jordi Corsus ending eighth. Those are some excellent results, especially by Bisio and Ackert.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bisio, I can remember I saw one attack of his in Benidorm, which really got me puzzled on who it was. It wasn't broadcasted, so that's a bit of a shame, but it was really a very strong attack, and overall he has been riding very strongly. You have been talking you know, about how he has been trying to combine the road and cyclocross in a way. I think that it is going quite good. And today was also a showcase of pure power and also some talent. And it is great to see that he is able to mix it up with those guys. And I think with 1 or 2 years, he's definitely going to be someone to challenge for the title. Looks like someone that also is serious on cyclocross, despite his ambitions on the road. And that is great to see, because We have seen in the past some of the French talents, choosing the road over cyclocross and then not even show up anymore and do not care anymore about the cyclocross races overall. So it's great to see that that is, I guess, a change of mentality in a way by some of the younger riders, and that's great to see. And yeah, I mean, with Ian Eckert, it was also a very good result. Got a little lucky there with the start, the crash there. But then you have to manage and maintain that position. And he did an amazing job. I think it's also this season probably his best result internationally.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is his best result. And I think, like, as you say, BCO, like he says he's going to continue doing cross, and with the Van Rijssel connection now with AG Desert, it's important. Van Rijssel also has their own cyclocross team. And they'll have a nice team. They'll have BCO, and they have Daniel Wiese-Nielsen there. He had some issues today, but was good in Hogerheide. And next year, David Thompson will move up to U23, and Oben Sparvel. And in general, they have a bunch of juniors doing cross, like Paul Sykes, but he's more of a roadie. Nevertheless, they can have like a nice four-man-ish team in these races with some international appeal as well, which is good because Decathlon is a pretty international sponsor. But it's of the utmost importance for like the future of the sport that BCO keeps doing it, I would say, because if a guy as talented as he is on the cross is also going to move away, like Pidcock, you're for always going to be stuck in this never-ending like Dutch-Belgian system of sport where they are the only ones that can make a living from it. And I would say Eckert and BCO both did very good. Eckert had an insane ride in that Fayetteville World Championships I already mentioned. He had like his chain snapped at the start and he recovered like all the way until 7th or something there, or maybe 9th. Last year he had a concussion which ruined his season, but yeah, he did what he could today, and of course he had a bit of luck there, but he rode very well and he still like matched all the riders he was around for the rest of that race. So yeah, very, very good. And I mean, let's just briefly go through the entire top 10. Del Grosso, Verstringen, Michels, Bichio, Lelandais, Eckert, Van de Putte, Courses, Gros Lambert and Baars. I think really here we need to mention Lelandais after that crash. He could race a recovery race, and it was the second day of the weekend that he needed to do that, because in the mixed relay his chain dropped at the start. He also needed to recover, was key in that world title for France there, and now because of that chain drop he lost the potential chance of ending on the podium. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, Stromae, who went down there, like moved through the field well. He could have like ended in the top 10, and Gros Lambert could have ended in the top 5. It's unfortunate that it happens at the best time, and I guess especially for Lelandais, who looked very strong this weekend. Then on to the first race of the day, the Women Junior. That was an interesting one. There was an entertaining battle between Kat Ferguson from Great Britain, Celia Jarry from France, and Victoria Chladanova from Slovakia for the world title there. These three dueled. There were a couple of shifts. Chladanova attacked, then got dropped. Sort of yo-yoing a little bit around that group. In the final lap, she attacked in the first part of the course, but couldn't really drop Ferguson and Jarry. In the second part of the course, Ferguson was leading, but started making a few too many mistakes, which he'd basically been doing all race. And one of those mistakes was a sign for Jarry to fully attack. And Kat Ferguson actually closed that 3-second gap still just before the final bridge, but then off camera messed up like the corners there, which gave Jarry free rein to take the world title ahead of Ferguson, with Chladanova ending in third. Intriguing battle, Issam. I think that Jarry kind of maybe surprised a few people after Hogerheide last week. In Hogerheide last week, she was no good. She said that after doing a training camp in Spain, she was so tired, she just had a super bad day. But that seemed to be none of it today. Today, she seemed to be like almost as good as she was in Benidorm when she had that flyer. She was just flying there, like flew away at the end of the first lap. Ferguson crashed a few times there, and then Jarry was able to take the win comfortably there. And today, all of them seemed to have like a good day. Ferguson made many mistakes, but was strong, powerful. Chladanova was what we've seen all season, consistent and smooth. And Jarry also kind of like what we've seen all season. It was an impressive ride, an intriguing battle, and I think Kat Ferguson was the strongest rider today physically. But you don't buy anything for that in cross because you need to be able to handle a bike. And for Ferguson, handling a bike is very, very difficult, as we could see today already before the race started.
Yeah, we saw it with the reckoning just before the race. I think it was like at 9:30 in the morning. And then you kind of see the juniors trying to get the first feeling of the course, because you know that will probably be the circumstances that you have to endure during the race. And you definitely can see the difference between the technical abilities between the riders. You know, we saw Khladanova, for example, go through the corners quite easily first time, no big issues. Vida Lopez and San Roman, same thing. And then you see an Imogen Wolf and a Kat Ferguson, yeah, basically trying to do a corner over and over and over again. And if you see how the first line was taken, then you would be very scared of that being taken in the race. But then they kind of got the hang of it in a way. But that tells you all in a way. You know, for those type of races, there's no big shame in trying a corner over and over again. But you need to have a good base, and that base is not really there. And in a race itself, you will always be thrown in a situation that you cannot really prepare for. You might go side by side, you might have to take a different line, someone might block the line that you normally would take, and those are kind of things that can throw you off, and that can also, in a way, you know, not help you out in a certain situation, and it might mess up your line, or you make a mistake, or whatever. So it's, you know, it has been a thing that we have been talking about over the season, I think, in some of the World Cup races that we also attended. And it is not something that will improve overnight. But if you take, for example, Brandt, who struggled a lot technically, was eventually able to improve on it quite massively, if I have to say. He's still not the best technical rider in a way, but definitely can hold her own. And I think that should be, in a way, an example for both. I mean, Ferguson definitely, because she was now for podium contention. But you can also say the same thing about Imogen Wolf, who didn't really have the best of days. And I think that is, in a way, where you know, there is no issue by being less than the others in terms of the technical abilities. But you got to work on it, and you got to make sure that you're getting better and better on it. And there are ways to get better. The right guys and also women, you're able to get to a certain level of a technical ability that is representable, and where you're not going to make those mistakes on the pressure.
I mean, even Backset didn't have the best technique when she started as a junior, but it's fine now. It's not perfect, and she still struggles on the most technical courses, but it's become a lot better. So for Ferguson, if she chooses to prioritize cross, or like at least keep doing it, she doesn't need to prioritize it, she should just keep doing it and keep improving in a similar way to Backstead, that could work out pretty well down the road. Today also, just like in the muddy conditions, made it a bit harder for Ferguson, but it just wasn't good today. First of all, in the first lap on that banking, she crashed, and then later on in the final lap, like when she was under pressure by Jerry, there was so many things that went wrong. Like, three times she tapped the ground in a single corner when Jerry was just in the pedal powering away. Then the easy corner onto the bridge, she makes a mistake which kills all her hopes of winning the race still. Like, that's just something that can't really happen if you want to become world champion cyclocross. At the same time, they're still at an age where you can learn a couple of things, but Issam, you actually spoke to Kat after the race, so let's listen to what she had to say.
We are here now with Kat Ferguson, second place. Congratulations. It was a close battle with Jerry. In the end, you didn't have enough. How do you feel?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm really disappointed. Like, just holding back the tears even now. Just made a silly little mistake on sort of the last big, before the last big ascent of the race. And that was sort of it. I was chasing, and I did close the gap to the top of the hill. But then just another tiny little mistake, just Celia just put me under pressure. Yeah, gutted. Is there any words I can come up with right now? I felt like I had a crash at the start, got my head back in the game and got back to the front of the race, and I felt good. So to make a stupid little mistake and to sort of potentially lose the race that way is, I'm a bit heartbroken.
I can feel the emotions. How do you bounce back from something like that? Because now, obviously, you have the road season probably that's coming up. Are you doing some more cyclocross still, or is now focus on the road now?
Yeah, so today was my last cyclocross race. I take a few days off now and then head to Calpe for some road training and then hit the road season. Hopefully with the added motivation of getting a jersey now, because this is my, I think, fourth World Championships, coming second. So, yeah, my main goal road season is coming away with a rainbow jersey.
I think you can be very proud with your season so far, and I hope you're the best for the road season, and we'll see what happens there.
Thank you very much.
A disappointed Kat Ferguson after the race, and it makes sense, but despite her technical mishaps, we should credit Sherry for this win, because she rode a mature and smart race, and those mistakes at the end didn't happen without a reason. Sherry was putting Ferguson under pressure. She rode a good race. She attacked at the right moment. She waited long. Chladanova attacked in the first part of the course, and that's the only place where she could do it. And then it didn't work out because Sherry and Ferguson had more power. Ferguson probably the strongest on the day. Sherry the most complete out of the three up front. And for Sherry, it's a strong comeback, because last week in Hoogheide, she wasn't good. She returned to her ways of Benidorm, where she was more comfortable, more powerful. They did a very long training camp in Spain, and that tiredness influenced the French squad in Hoogheide. Sparfel also wasn't on the top of his game there. And here you also come into the significant difference in terms of guidance by the federations during the season of the youth teams, and especially the juniors, where the relationship is the most intense, because France just lays out a program and it includes multiple national team training camps, including a world's preparation camp in Spain. And in other countries, there's no real guidance like that from the national federation. Riders work with their own coaches. There's maybe one camp, and if there is a camp like that, they definitely don't all follow the same schedule or preparation. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. And then for Sherry, it clearly worked out well. She was on top of her game this weekend, and it results in a double world title, because she also won the mixed relay on the Friday. And yeah, as I said, really in those final sections, she waited, and in the technical sections there, put Ferguson under pressure. And if you just judged by the speed Ferguson had to come back, Ferguson was the strongest, but Sherry made the right call and put that pressure there on the right moment.
It goes both ways in a way. When you have good legs and when you are in a very good position, then you also have some capacity left over to think your strategy through. And it was a very smart race from Sherry, in my opinion, because when it matters the most, she was at the front. She was at the front at the beginning of the race. She was also at the front at the end of the race, and even more at the front at the finish when she won. It was tactically for her a very good race, and she also didn't take the risk of maybe, obviously feeling well, but then trying to make a gap on the competitors, and that it then kind of bites you back, and you're not able to answer a response from Chladanova or Ferguson. So I think from her side, it was definitely the best race that she could have ridden. Great job from her, and also this season was a very good season for Jury, and she's also someone that has possibilities, so it's interesting to see what she's going to do. But it's great to see her commit to cyclocross at the moment, and hopefully she can do that in the future and she can grow. The potential that she has at the moment is quite significant, in my opinion. It's again just a very good ride from her, and I hope that her career can end up somewhere in a great place.
Don't forget, Sherry is also a good rider on the road. She was 7th at the Road World Championships, was annoying Ferguson there a lot. Every time she was on the wheel and Ferguson got visibly annoyed, Julie Begaud, the countrywoman of Sherry, was already up the road. Begaud took the world title, Ferguson sprinted to second. That was interesting to see like all the talk is about Ferguson and multidisciplinary stuff and how she is going to Movistar. But don't forget that Cherie is also a very good rider. I'm sure she will get options. Not really sure where she will go, but that's going to be interesting. And I think it's also going to be interesting to see what happens to Chladanova. Like, she's a raw talent. If you like fine-tune her riding style, she's like seriously talented. I think she can do very well. But which team is going to take the risk? Probably not that many due to the way that sponsorships work. I mean, I would hope she could get maybe on the Billron MTB team, like with the Czech riders. That could be like probably a good path forward. But it's hard to like see a real path to the front for her. So yeah, it's I'm a bit torn on what's going to happen with her. But let's look at the entire top 10. Jerry took the win ahead of Ferguson Chladanova. Langebrach ended fourth ahead of Duderova. Had a really good day. The Czech in front of the home crowd was, well, a bit of a surprise. Probably the biggest surprise for me in the result there. Then Vida Lopez de San Roman beat May Kabaka in a sprint for sixth place. Kabaka ended seventh ahead of Imogen Wolf. Amalie Gotwaldova ended ninth for the Czech Republic with Anne Moulin running out the top 10. I would like to talk about May Kabaka here, Issam, because 7th place is the standout result of the season for her. She had, at least to me, was a big talent coming into the season. I'd expected like pretty big things from her. Like, she got 10th with the Elite in Oosterwijk, which I think could have even been better. But things weren't like really going super well in the World Cups. 18th in Troyes, 23rd in Pontchâteau, 17th in Namur, 30th in Antwerp. Didn't do Benidorm and then 15th in Hoogheide. But result of the season, and she's been overtrained. This kid is very gifted technically. 7th is a standout result, and we'll see what that brings next year when hopefully she has a good preparation for the season. She was ahead of Imogen Wolf, who, like, I would have expected much better, but Wolf, for the second week in a row, wasn't really good. Maybe mistimed her peak slightly, or got probably, I would actually say, burned down in that Christmas period by doing like that long stretch of races, because after Baal, it just went downhill. Nationals and everything, apart from maybe Benidorm, wasn't great.
Yeah, that could definitely be the case. I mean, Hoogheide was definitely not a good sign, but then you hope that it's a one-off, and then you come into Tabor and you hope that then the legs would be a little bit better, but it wasn't the case. And it was today a very honest course, but it was also a course that needed a lot of power, but also some running. And I guess just the combination of it makes it a very honest course in a way, where you cannot really get a lot of, you cannot, it's a bit weird to say, but the technique in a way is not the most dependent thing, despite the fact that for Ferguson it was at the moment in the race. But yeah, it's for Wolf, it's definitely a bit of a shame, but we should not overlook that she's a great and a massive talent in a way, and also someone that has the potential on the road. So that will be interesting what choice she will make over the course of the next seasons. But I hope for sure that she will stay and keep on going with cyclocross, because as you said as well about Buxted, it was kind of similar. Not really technically gifted on a cyclocross bike, but you can definitely work your way through it and you can improve yourself so much. The room that you can have to improve yourself is definitely not limited. Every rider can improve something. And therefore, I definitely think that it is, for Wolf, not the end of the world, but just the beginning of maybe a great career. And that is for most of these riders. You have to give them time and don't judge them on only one race. And time will tell.
Wolf is definitely a rider I can see being picked up by Trek in this transfer window. Just seems to fit. And I wonder what will happen with like the rest. Jerry is for sure going to be picked up. Not sure about Chladanova. Langenbach is really a cross rider, so I think she will probably go to like the Orange Babies team. That would make sense. Duderova is probably gonna like stay on like a Czech team. Like Billron MTB will be probably all over her. it's not really another option I can see for her. It was a really good ride by her nevertheless. And then, yeah, Vida Lopez de San Roman, always hard for Americans to find a contract, but sixth place is good result for her. Kabaka has a more year as a junior, is already on Deschacht. And then, yeah, Gotwaldova and Moulin and the rest of the top 10. Gotwaldova is also a first year, was pretty good in Namur this year as well, is pretty gifted on the mountain bike. So, yeah, interested to see what will happen to these riders in the future. Issam, let's leave it at that. Thank you for your time. It's been an hour. It's a lot happened. It's always a bit of a season recap because after this, the season like really, really dries out. It's really just the Belgians and the Dutch with maybe a few, I would almost call it lost foreigners because that's how they describe them in Belgium, like left racing.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And maybe we need to apologize to the listeners for making it maybe a little bit longer than was needed. But it was a pleasure to be talking on a great first day, or actually second day of World Championships. And I'm looking forward to what will happen on the Sunday.
Thanks everyone for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode then covering the Men Elite, Women Under 23 and Men Junior. See you guys then. Goodbye.